Grace, mercy, and peace be on you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for our consideration is the gospel lesson, Luke chapter 19, that was just read. You may be seated. Our text for this day is about desire. Jean-Paul Sartre, an atheist philosopher, once described man as a useless passion. This phrase is surely a commentary on the life of the modern consumer. The consumer's life consists in the attempt to fulfill eternal desires with temporal things. And so man devours food that only satisfies for the moment. He shops for clothing, seeks a career, wishes for prosperity, and hopes for the American dream. Surely the atheist philosopher is right. Man is a useless passion. However, we must recognize that long before Jean-Paul Sartre, the scriptures themselves define mankind according to his desires. Indeed, one could say that man is desire. Man is not created to be an independent, self-fulfilling creature. He is created for the gifts of God, to eat the fruit of the garden, to subdue the earth, and to love his neighbor. Man's nature as a creature of desire is precisely what the devil exploits by means of his temptations. At the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man's desire is revealed. At the tree, his hopes, his dreams, his wishes, and longings are made manifest. At the tree, man becomes a useless passion. He desires the creature rather than the creator. He turns his desire toward the things of this world, toward the gifts of the devil, toward that which God does not give. For sinful man, creation is no longer revered as the gift of God, but is reduced to the choice of man. Man now ceases to be a priest who gives thanks, and becomes a consumer who makes choices. Sinful man truly is a useless passion. He has become a desire with no fulfillment, a desire content with illusions. And yet God in his mercy will not allow his creation to come to nothing. Against the devil's temptations, God offers the promise of a son. The devil's temptations turn man into a useless passion, but the coming of the woman's seed fills man with the most useful expectation. With the promise of a son, God seeks to turn man's desires away from the things of this world toward the creator of this world. With the promise of a son, God seeks to take the useless passion of sin and turn it into the useful expectation of true faith. This expectation is the heart of the Old Covenant. It is embodied in Abraham, who, as Christ himself says, rejoiced that he might behold the day of Christ. In our gospel lesson for this day, Zacchaeus is a son of Adam and a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus is a son of Adam because he is a man of desire, a man of useless passions. St. Luke tells us that Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector and rich. This description implies that Zacchaeus has not only desired the things of this world, but also has acquired them. And yet his passion has left him unfulfilled. His desire has come to a vain end. Zacchaeus is of small stature, a description that applies not only to his flesh, but also to his spirit. Zacchaeus is less than what he could be. He is less than what he was created to be. And yet Zacchaeus is not only the son of Adam, but also the son of Abraham, because the desire of Abraham lives in his heart. Just as Father Abraham longed to see the day of Christ, so Zacchaeus desires to behold who Jesus is. It is this desire that is made manifest at the sycamore tree. At this tree, Zacchaeus, in a sense, seeks a reversal of Adam's sin. At the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man became less than what he was created to be. He became a useless passion. However, at this sycamore tree, Zacchaeus is filled with the most useful expectation. At this tree, the chief tax collector desires to be more than what he has become. He seeks to transcend an inadequate stature and a vain life. In Zacchaeus, a conflict rages between a greed for the things of this world and hope for the world to come, a conflict between the lust of sin and the expectation of true faith. This conflict surely rages within us all. At the beginning, I said that this text is about desire. So far, we have considered the desire of Zacchaeus, a desire that is revealed when he ascends a tree. And yet the desire of Zacchaeus is by no means the center of this text. Rather, our gospel lesson is about the desire of Christ. While Zacchaeus desires to see Jesus, it is Jesus who stops at the tree, lifts up his eyes, and beholds Zacchaeus. While Zacchaeus sees Jesus outwardly, Christ's vision reaches the depth of this little man's being. At this tree, Jesus' desire for mankind is made public. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Christ's desire is to dwell with mankind, to eat with sinners, to grace our table with his presence. And so greater now is the house of Zacchaeus than the house of Israel. Greater is the table of this tax collector than the altar of Solomon's temple. For what Abraham desired to see, Zacchaeus now enjoys. It is the presence of Christ and his desire to dwell with mankind that now turns Zacchaeus from a useless passion into a true Christian. With Christ dwelling in his house, Zacchaeus becomes more than what he was. He becomes what he was created to be. He is no longer a greedy thief, but a son of Abraham and a son of God. He is no longer a man of small stature, but one who shares in the maturity, the perfection, and the fullness of Christ. He is no longer a consumer, viewing his wealth as the reward for his own ambition, but now he is a priest, viewing his possessions as the gift of God, and surrendering them for the life of the world. The desire of Zacchaeus is made known when he climbs a tree, but the desire of Christ is made known when he ascends the cross. And his desire is this, that he might turn the flesh of man into the temple of God. As Christ says, today salvation has come to this house. On the cross, Christ is revealed as the God who makes a dwelling in man, as the God who dwells even in the midst of our sin, our persecutions, our temptations, and our death. And on the third day, Christ's humanity is established as the permanent, eternal, and everlasting temple of God. In Christ's resurrected flesh, we see God's desire for mankind. We see what we were created to be. This desire of Christ, made known to Zacchaeus at the sycamore tree, made public before the world on the tree of the cross, is now again revealed before our eyes upon this altar. Christ comes to stay at our house this day. Here we share in Jesus' flesh and blood and become temples of the Holy Spirit. In communion with Christ, we are more than what we have become through sin. We become what God has created us to be, a dwelling place for his righteousness, his love, and his glory. Here we are no longer men and women of useless passions. Instead, we are sons and daughters of God who long for his presence and the glorious appearing of our inheritance. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever.